In case I had ever forgotten it, the events of the last few months have certainly reminded me and all of us that we live in a big, complex world. Sort of like there are dinosaurs stomping around in it, and we don't want to get squashed by them, whether it's politics, the threat of war, racial strife here in our country, disease, government regulations, the economy, threatening to tank. And we don't like being vulnerable to those threats, do we? I like to hide in my little corner off the beaten path when the elephants are charging by, and I think we're all more or less like that. But the Christian faith challenges us to walk with God through tough times, doesn't it? All those favorite stories, Bible stories that we learned as little kids, Daniel in the lion's den, the three holy youths in the fiery furnace, David and Goliath, Moses leading the children of Israel out of Egypt, to say nothing of all these saints and martyrs over here who are chopped in pieces, boiled in oil, all the terrible things. And the Orthodox Church of all churches honors the saints and commemorates them day after day, week after week, Sunday after Sunday. And here we are shrinking from, I complain a little about the challenges of my lifetime. Today in today's gospel, we see two handicapped men who themselves were in a time of great vulnerability and uncertainty. In those days, there was no way to earn a living, at least a good one, if you had that handicap, was there? You're pretty much stuck begging or depending on your relatives and friends, the charity of others. They had probably, I'm guessing, a same old routine worked out for themselves. Maybe not morning coffee, but they had a favorite place where they would beg by a road where at least passers-by would come and perhaps drop a few coins on them. And an opportunity for change, for escape from same old, came on them. And I kind of think that if we look at the blind men and the five steps that I'm going to mention of the unfolding of their story, we might find a little bit of a blueprint for us on how we navigate the changes that our lives are presenting us right now. So first of all, the blind man have a chance that they have to decide whether or not they're going to take. They hear that Jesus is coming by. In fact, he's already gone by, and the scripture says they have to chase him. But they have a chance to decide what they're going to do. And they leave their corner, and they start with their stick, or maybe somebody leading. Well, I don't know how they did it. But they start going down. They made the choice to get away from same old, same old. Chance was my first point. The chase. Following Christ, bringing him into my life in a meaningful way, requires me to get away from the same old of listening for the latest bad news or obsessively watching my devices for what's going on in the world. Jesus was getting away from them, and they chased him all the way to a house where he finally stopped and they could catch up. There's a chant. That's step three. What is their chant? Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Does it remind you of any of the prayers of the Orthodox Church? Of course it does. It's almost word for word the Jesus prayer that we're taught to use day in and day out, and especially in times of stress. Step four. They had to make a choice. Jesus cross-examines them. Do you really believe that I can do what you want me to do? You really believe that? And then finally, there's good cheer. Jesus tells them to shut up, but they don't. They go all over the place, spreading the word of what's happened to them. The news was too good. Their lives had been transformed. They could not be quiet. So how does it apply to us in this time of transition and difficulty? We have to believe that all of these things, and we may be worshiping next week out in the open air. Who knows what's coming next? It'll be okay. God is with us. We have a chance to make the uncertainty of our times, the transition that we all feel like we're undergoing, to make that into a source of the greatest blessing in our lives, to take us out of the same old, begging blindly on the street corner of our lives, if I can put it that way, because sometimes that's where we wind up, isn't it? Just kind of sitting there waiting for somebody or something to come by that doesn't challenge us. That's not the times that we have been given. That's not the situation that God has blessed us with. Then there's some chasing going on, some effort. We can't just expect to be transformed by God and touched by His grace and changed into different people without doing some chasing, without the effort. And the Orthodox Church, of course, teaches us to worship, partake of the sacraments, fellowship with one another, forgive other people, anything that you are sure that they have done or that you think they might have done. Because sometimes we're wrong, right? I mean, in my lifetime, I would hate to have to face the total of all the mistaken interpretations that I've put on people or events. That's how we chase God. We go to confession. We face the truth about our characteristic sins. And guess whose characteristic sins keep coming out over and over again in times of stress and uncertainty? Mine, yours. I'm not an exception to the rule. I'm like an example of the rule. This is where we're tested most deeply. So of course these things test us and try us. We have to really chase after God so that we don't remain prisoners of what it is that we must confess, but that we learn to walk with God in peace and joy and love, take the waves as they come, as God sends them to us. So in this time of stress, this time of uncertainty, this time of transition, am I going to just sort of sit there on the street corner like the blind men could have done, with my own tiny self, wanting things, wanting to have power, wanting to have things organized my way? Or am I going to be drawn out of that to chase Christ and follow Him and be relieved of my blindness? I sometimes in Calgary, I tell the people about the Giant Dipper at the boardwalk, which we don't hear this summer, obviously. But I said, there's a roller coaster there, and everybody loves to go on it. It's supposed to be one of the 10 best. You stand in line for a long time. You finally get up there. You know, we've all been on it many times, right? You get up there, and you and your friends and family, you get all into the same car, and you're laughing. And then what happens? After they get you in there, what happens? You sit down, and then that bar comes down, right? You know what I'm talking about. The bar comes down. And in case you weren't paying attention, you then notice there's no steering wheel and no brakes. No steering wheel, no brakes. And, of course, that's what, ultimately, that's what thrills us as... It takes off and it's dragging us along, and there's no way I influence or you influence how long the ride lasts, where it goes, or what happens to the corn dog that you just and that is kind of, that's the life of faith. Is it something wrong that our nests have been stirred, that there's uncertainty? Well, no. Churchill is famous for having said, "History is one darn thing after another." He used strong language, stronger language than that. And the Christian life, you know, there's Ezekiel going up to heaven in a chariot of fire, Moses, the burning bush, the children of Israel on the edge of the Red Sea, a lion's den, a fiery furnace. It's one darn thing after another. Churchill was right. Only he wasn't talking about Christians. But it's one challenge after another. And we get to join the blind men, getting off the corner where we beg and where we're so used to being. And not distress. Follow the saints. Follow our examples in our own tiny way, in our own tiny lives, to be made new by Jesus Christ and His Spirit. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God. Amen.